Good morning. Welcome. We're excited that you guys are here with us today. I started, and then Chris, that's doing our video, says he's counting me down, and I already started. So sorry about that, Chris. I'll never learn, I guess. Sorry. We got everybody behind me here? All right. Hey, why don't you guys go ahead and stand with us? We're going to get started with some worship. We're going to, on the second song that we're doing, we're going to start out a little peppy this morning. And the second song, when we were rehearsing, people were dancing. So feel free to dance. Yeah, go ahead. But let me pray for us. Lord God, we love this place, Lord. We love this opportunity, Lord. We love this church, every person in it, Lord. Just help us to experience your presence here today, Lord, in a really special and unique way. Help us to just dive into these songs, Lord, and worship you fully, Lord. These songs are to usher you into this place and for us to connect with you, Lord. So bless this time we have together, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys, you can dance to this one, remember. So. Yep, people were doing it earlier, so. Worth more that will ever come close Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your more aware of your presence.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We just love your presence in this place, Lord. Continue to reign over all of us here today, Lord. It's a special time. We get to come here on Sunday. And we don't take that for granted, Lord. Help us to receive what you have for us today, Lord, through Steve's message. Each one of us may get something different from this message, Lord, but help us just to be open to what you have for us today, Lord. We love you. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much. And a few of you did dance. That was good. Hey, why don't you go ahead and turn around and say hi to somebody, and we will have some announcements shortly for you.
Good morning, Harvest Church. I'm Dave, and one of the staff pastors here at church, and just want to welcome everybody here this morning. Glad to have you. Kind of a coolish morning, but kind of nice to have it cooled off after the heat that we had. Here on the Central Coast, we're such hothouse flowers, aren't we? I mean, if it's not 60 degrees, we're wearing parkas, but if it's 72, it's blistering hot. So. But if you're with us for the first time this morning, we'd love to give you a gift. We're glad to have you with us. And over at the welcome table, if you'd like to go over after service, they've got a coffee mug with some goodies and information in it that we'd love to give to you. And then if you are new to and you'd like to stay connected, we've got some communication cards that are on the little table that's covering, it's right over here, or if you're up in the loft, it's right over here or up by the shop, and you can fill that out, put it in the collection box, which is that mailbox right there, big black mailbox right there by the entrance to the patio. So could do that. We have Sunday school classes this morning in the 11 o'clock service only. We've got birth through four and through five. Pardon me. Thank you, Leslie. Then next week during the 11 o'clock service, all kids' classes will resume. So that's, isn't that great? But only during second service because we don't have enough volunteers to have yet for first service. So if you're looking for a way you can serve, we'd love to have you talk to Leslie, and she would love to get you plugged in. Club 56 has begun meeting weekly. That's our fifth and sixth grade students, kind of our pre-youth group. And they meet on Wednesdays here at over here in the U. And any fifth and sixth graders you know, let them come. It says on my notes here, it's a fun, interactive group. I can imagine with, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, there's much interaction. And so get more information about that over at the welcome table as well. We have a marriage night coming up in just a couple of weeks on September 12th. That's a Saturday from 4:30 to 8. There are several well-known Christian speakers, and I know there's going to be a Christian comedian that's part of the thing too. So it's going to be right here on our big screen TV here on the patio. Come, bring beach chairs, blankets, and pack a picnic dinner. Or get something, you know, you can go to the Scottish restaurant down here, you know, McDonald's. And the cost for the event is $30 a couple. But please let Jeremy know. He's coordinating it, and he'd be happy to give you more information on that. And it's also coming out in the weekly email updates, which if you don't have your email in with us, fill out one of those communication cards, put it in the box. And then fall life groups are starting up this in September. There are flyers over on the welcome table to show you what's going on life group-wise here at Harvest. There's a home groups. There's a women's prayer group that meets on Thursday mornings over at the park over here. And they seem to keep growing and growing, or a different set of ladies kind of comes and rotates through, but it's a great time to gather to pray. There's going to be a Bible school class coming up on sharing the gospel with Muslims, a foundations class that's going to be on Sunday mornings during second service that's going to be on forgiveness, and lots more. So go grab some information on that after church if you're interested, and we'd love to have you take part in the life of the church. Because, you know, Sunday morning, we love Sunday morning, but the church is 24/7. And we're made to be together. We're made to be in fellowship. So I encourage you to get plugged in and find some way you can be a part of what's going on here at Harvest. Because believe me, we've been here, my wife and I have been coming to Harvest for a year and a half. I'm going to give Steve the mic here in a second. You know, give a preacher a Bible and a microphone and you're in trouble. But it's such a great spot and a great feel, and we just get plugged in. Super. With that.
Good. Good word. You can have your mic. I'll keep mine.
Okay. And who are you?
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm
leaving. I don't think you saw. That was probably not very nice. Sorry, Dave. It's okay. He doesn't know what I did, but he's okay. Yes, I did. It's actually the right foot, but that's right. Welcome. Hey, I wanted to say hello to those who are watching from home as well. It is great to have you guys participating online. We love you. We miss you. Take care of yourselves, and we will see you soon. Welcome, everyone. How's everyone doing? Doing good? Good. We got a joke. But before that, I sent out a letter letting everybody know that we've got a new worship leader starting September 8th. She'll be here September 8th and then be leading in part September 13th. Her name is Sherilyn Keller. Somebody said, what is her name? That is her name, Sherilyn Keller. You can check her out online. And anyway, she'll be here soon. And if you didn't get a letter, like Dave said, fill out a communication card so that we have all your email addresses and that we can send you that kind of stuff. So, quick joke, husband and wife were feuding. Has that ever happened? No, it doesn't happen, does it? So this is just imagine that a husband and wife might feud, and it was getting pretty bad. They were pretty angry with each other, so they began to give each other the silent treatment. Well, it lasted into the night, this silent treatment, and to keep it going, the husband left his wife a note. He needed to get up early the next morning at 5 a.m. to catch a flight and to go on a business trip, and so he left his wife a note, wake me up at 5 a.m. So he goes to bed, wakes up the next morning. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and he is really angry at this point. He's trying to find his wife, and he realizes there's a note next to his side of the bed, and it said, wake up, it's 5 a.m. Silent treatment's never a good idea, right? It just never, ever works. So well, that's the joke. We're talking about standing firm in the Lord today. And really, standing firm is a theme that we need to exercise or need to put into practice in life, in relationships. Anytime we're tempted to abandon a relationship, anytime we're tempted to abandon a job or a church or anything, we need to consider the cost and decide to stand firm. There's something about standing firm in a relationship, in any kind of relationship, whether it be with a church or in a marriage relationship or with a friend. When we choose to stand firm, there's just richness that begins to be experienced in those relationships. Life is full of challenges, and there's a lot of things that want us to give that kind of cause us to want to give up and to throw in the towel. And that happens in our relationship with the Lord as well. Sometimes we're just frustrated, we're overwhelmed, we want to just kind of give up. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and he was having a rough time. And he said, you know, he told the Lord, he said, you know what? I'm going to serve you, but I'm going to stop listening to you. I don't know if you can do that or not, but that's what he said. You know, kind of get to this place where you're like, I trust you as my Savior, but day-to-day stuff, I'm just going to do my own thing. And that was kind of, you know, he was kind of operating out of some pain, reacting out of some pain and some frustration in his life. And then he came to church, and something happened at church where he just really felt like the Lord revealed himself. Jesus revealed himself to my friend, and he realized that that was not the answer. He realized he needed to stand firm in the Lord, standing firm in Jesus' name. So what does it look like to stand firm in the Lord? We're going to read 1 Corinthians 15:58, but before that, let's go ahead and stand up. And now that we kind of know what we're going to be talking about today, let's ask the Lord to speak to us and prepare our hearts for that. So Lord, we want to stand in awe of you and honor of you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are here and that you have a message for each of us. As Jim said, it's going to be slightly, everybody's going to have a different takeaway, but it's going to be a message, I believe, Lord, that speaks to people. And so I pray that each of us would have a heart and openness in our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us, Lord, that we might honor you with our lives and with our response to the message. So, and God, minister to each person, encourage each person, speak to each person. God, reveal your love to each person, we pray. Reveal your amazing grace gift to each person, we pray. God, reveal yourself in powerful and tangible ways and real obvious ways today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So what does it mean to stand firm in the Lord? We actually get kind of a bit of a description in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. So this is a theme that we see in the scriptures, this call to stand firm, whether it be the words of Jesus or one of the apostles, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament. There's a challenge by the Lord to each of us to stand firm. In the midst of trials and temptations and difficulties, we have the opportunity and we have the capacity in Jesus to stand firm. We've got capacity because the Holy Spirit fills us, empowers us, gives us grace and truth to stand firm in Jesus' name. And so with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have the capacity to recognize lies when we're hearing them or when we're seeing them, and then decide not to believe those lies. We have an opportunity to kind of recognize when the enemy's trying to lead us astray and then choose not to agree with the enemy. So as the Holy Spirit fills us and as we're informed of God's plans through the Word of God, we have the opportunity and the capacity and the power to follow Him and to stand firm and not fall flat in our walk with the Lord or not give up in our walk with the Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. That means you're on the path and you're moving forward. You're not looking to the left or the right. You're not entertaining thoughts about leaving or backsliding or falling away, but you're standing firm in Jesus Christ. You're resisting the enemy, resisting temptation, resisting the trouble that wants to tempt you to walk away. You're standing firm in Jesus' name. I remember when I used to ride my bike all the time, I had pedals. I'd lock into my pedals. And those things would force me to stay pedaling, to stay on the trail. They would force me to stay the course because I was locked in. I mean, I could get out, but I was committed, and that was the reason. That's why you have locking in pedals. You're committed to the ride. So standing firm, letting nothing move you. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And in different arenas, that work looks different. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you've got work with your kids and your grandkids. If you're married, you've got work in your marriage relationship. Whatever your position in life, you've got work that the Lord has given you to do. You've got work to do inside the church and outside the church. All of this kingdom work, this eternal work that God has called you to, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Sometimes we're half-hearted, and it's easy for us to quit on the things that God has asked us to do. Anytime we're doing anything half-hearted, it's easy for us to kind of just blow it off or to give it up. But when we are giving ourselves fully to the things of the Lord, and that starts really with giving ourselves fully to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit and the life change that Jesus wants to accomplish in our lives, it's about giving ourselves fully to God, allowing ourselves to be fully empowered by Him and filled with Him and led by Him. Some of us are half-hearted in our commitment to the Lord. And so everything else that flows out of that is going to be half-hearted as well. And so God wants to challenge us today. Are you fully in? Are you all in? Are you totally committed to the things of the Lord? Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Nothing that we do for the Lord is in vain. Years ago, a friend of mine was a part of a church, and he had made a contribution to a building project. And then the church ended up going through some change, and he ended up leaving that church, and he was frustrated because he invested his money, and he was like, man, I gave this money, and now I'm not even at that church. I said, nothing that you've done for the Lord is in vain. You don't have to worry about that. You gave it out of faith, by faith, and by faith, God's going to take care of you and bless you. So don't worry about what you've done that maybe in hindsight looks like it was a mistake. If you've given or done or served out of faith, then you can trust that the Lord's going to honor you for that. Nothing that you do for the Lord is in vain. Let's jump into Philippians chapter 4. We're going to wrap up our study in Philippians today. There's four chapters in Philippians. We're going to wrap up Philippians chapter 4. And verse 1 says, therefore, my brothers, and that word can mean brothers or sisters, brothers and sisters. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Paul loves the church. He thinks of the church with such fondness and such love and such compassion, such investment. He is completely invested in the church, in the people of God. So he says, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Anytime you see a therefore, you need to ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? So you ask the question, what is the therefore, therefore? Therefore, in light of what we've already read, in light of what we've read in the previous chapter and maybe in the previous chapters, in light of the fact that our citizenship, that we are citizens of heaven, and because of the resurrection, because we belong to God, because of all of these things, therefore, because those things are true, stand firm. Stand firm, because your citizenship is in heaven. Your citizenship isn't of the earth. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. And you are a citizen of heaven. He has saved you. He is sanctifying you. He is doing a good work in your life. So therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for. Why is he loving it? He's in jail, right? So he's thinking about his brothers and sisters in the church. He thinks about his love for them and how he longs to have fellowship with him. That's why I'm so glad we're having church, even though it's outside and a little overcast and a little cold. We're having church because we long to be together. We long for fellowship as the body of Christ. We want to be together, and that's a God-given thing. That's something that God has done in us. He has created a hunger, a desire for us to be in fellowship one with another, and so that's why we press through and we set up tents and sound equipment and do all the stuff, because it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it to have church, and God is faithful. Amen. So we've got a bunch of people showing up much earlier than I show up on Sunday morning, and they're setting things up, and so I just want to say thank you to them. Thank you to everyone. It's really, really powerful. So how do we stand firm? Well, the text tells us, anytime we have questions about how to live our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, all we have to do is open up the Bible. God's not trying to keep it a secret. He said, hey, it's all written in the Word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to show you how to walk it out. So we've got the information, the revelation, and the power to stand firm in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3, we see the answer. Number one in your notes, don't be distracted by petty things. Don't be distracted by petty things. We're going to see that there's a couple of women in the church who are distracted by petty things, and Paul lovingly challenges them in their petty disagreements. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3 says, I entreat you, Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. So these two women had some sort of disagreement, and obviously disagreement's a part of life, but we don't have to stay there. We actually have the opportunity in our disagreements to navigate that well, to extend forgiveness, to extend grace, so that we are in community and able to have fellowship one to another. Maybe you're here today and you're involved in a petty disagreement. Maybe it's an opportunity for the Lord to speak to you this morning about your petty disagreement. And I would say, don't allow those petty disagreements to cause you to scrap important relationships. Sometimes we allow petty disagreements to cause us to scrap important relationships. So don't do that. Maybe you're having some petty difficulties in your in your marriage. And I don't mean to make light of difficulties, but if there are things that are happening in your marriage that are petty, that means they're not that big of a deal. They can be forgiven. They need to be forgiven. Sometimes it's just about where you squeeze the toothpaste, right? I've been married for 30 years, and so what did I do? I got a separate set of toothpaste. I got toothpaste. My wife's got toothpaste. I don't care where she squeezes the toothpaste, right? I don't want to have a dumb, petty argument about where she squeezes the toothpaste because she's probably not happy with where I squeeze the toothpaste, right? So we need to be cautious and careful about what we're allowing to interrupt the peace of our relationships. Don't let petty things come between you. Don't let them cause you to scrap relationships, marriages, ministry. Don't scrap important things because of petty reasons. So just think about your life. Where am I allowing petty problems to interrupt relationship? I'm so grateful that the pastors on the Central Coast come together. We're going to get together next Wednesday. We come together monthly for prayer meetings, for lunch. And theologically, we've got some differences, every one of us. But we don't let those petty differences keep us from enjoying fellowship together. So this month, I'm hosting it. We'll be right here on the patio or maybe in the loft. We'll be gathering pastors and we'll have lunch and we'll pray together. And then next month, I think Jason Whalen's hosting it at Grace Bible. And we're going to just continue our fellowship. Even though there are some differences, we're not going to allow those things to become petty and separate us and interrupt our fellowship together. So back to our text. Whatever the dispute was about, Euodia and Syntyche had forgotten that they have a greater common ground in Jesus Christ. Boy, that's the perspective, right? Like, sometimes we get so bogged down on the wrong stuff, and we've got greater common ground that needs to be the focus, right? In church life, man, our common ground is the gospel, the fact that we're meant to be salt and light in the earth. None of us are going to do life perfectly and make perfect decisions, but man, our greatest common ground is not that we're perfect, it's that we're all broken and that we're all saved by grace through faith and that God is faithful. And we've got the gospel to carry to the world so that others can see that Jesus is faithful. They forgot something though. Euodia and Syntyche forgot. They forgot everything else was less important. Everything else is less important than the common ground. Everything else is less important. Maybe you need to think about that in light of your marriage relationship. Your common ground is that you've made a covenant relationship one with another. Everything else is less important. That covenant relationship is key, and it's going to give you the capacity, the ability, holding on to that and being committed to that. It's going to give you the capacity to overcome difficulties and temptations and trials and things that are maybe less than petty. They'll give you the grace to get through all that stuff. So they forgot that everything else was less important than the common ground. What's more important, Philippians 4:3? Yes, I ask you also a true companion. Paul asks his companion, he said, help these women. Sometimes we need help resolving our problems. He said, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Another common ground for believers, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, indicating that we've been added to his family, that we've got salvation. So we've got that common ground that should keep us united and keep us strong in fellowship one to another. Laboring in the gospel should be the focus of our lives. So whether that means that you're just praying for people, sometimes we come across people and they just need our prayer and we don't even need to say anything other than, hey, I'm going to be praying for you. Or, hey, we had a guy cooking some tacos for a meeting that we had. I said, hey, why don't you come to church? We were out here on the patio here and we're out in the back behind the loft. I said, hey, we've got church 9 or 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We would love to have you. Because he said, hey, I love your campus. I love what you're doing. He kind of opened the door. I said, well, why don't you come join us? And so laboring the gospel, always being mindful. Now, I'm not going to shove something down his throat that he's not ready for, but I do want to invite him and make an invitation to him. Or maybe it's just that we do share the gospel with somebody who's struggling. You say, man, you know, I've been sensing that you're struggling. I just want to share that the God of peace is available to you. He loves you, and he wants to lift your burden. You can say something like that, and people are responsive to that. People need to hear that. We've got truth and revelation that people need for their lives. And so if we just with gentleness and kindness communicate that truth to people, they're gonna have the opportunity to hear it. So Paul asks his companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. They were laboring in the gospel and they got distracted. Maybe your life's been about important things, but you're being distracted right now. The Lord just wants to bring you back on target, that's all. We can get distracted by petty things, and the enemy is great about doing that, isn't that? We've got an enemy, our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to destroy, someone to devour. He wants to distract us. He wants to get us off target, off point. We need to remember that laboring in the gospel has eternal benefits. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anybody who comes to faith in Christ, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Petty distractions keep us from investing our time, effort, and energy in eternal things. That's why the enemy wants us distracted by petty little things. So don't let him distract you in your relationships, with your marriage, with your friends, with your church, in your relationship with him. Don't let the enemy distract you. Come back to the Lord every moment that you feel distracted, every opportunity that you feel that you're about to be tempted. Just keep coming back to the Lord. How do we stand firm in the Lord? Don't be distracted by petty things, number one. Number two, choose to rejoice in the Lord. We keep hearing this theme, right? We keep hearing this theme. Joy and rejoicing are the theme of this epistle. Joy and rejoicing. Every chapter expresses Paul's joy. Every chapter expresses the importance of joy. And every chapter communicates and expresses Paul's encouragement for us to choose to rejoice in the Lord. Paul is constantly telling his church, rejoice in the Lord. Make that decision to rejoice in the Lord. And again, Paul's in a jail writing this, communicating this truth, and he's asking people to choose, to make the decision to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. So when are we to do it? Yeah, amen. Always, right? And he repeats himself. We have this capacity, and it's not just a suggestion, it's actually a command. We've got this responsibility to rejoice in the Lord always. So not to make light of difficult times, but even in the midst of difficult times, we can choose to rejoice. We can say, God is faithful. I don't understand why this difficult thing is happening, but I can trust him. I rejoice in the fact that I can trust him. I rejoice in the fact that he is sovereign. That means he's not surprised by anything. And so though I'm surprised, he's not surprised. And so I can rejoice in that. And I can say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to unfold. I didn't expect this to happen in my life. But I rejoice that you knew and that you're going to walk with me through this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, and maybe a better translation of that word is gentleness, be known to everyone. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. So in other words, don't be dogmatic or harsh. Maybe that's what's wrong with you, Odia and Syntyche. Maybe they're being dogmatic and harsh, and it's causing problems in their relationship. Dogmatism and harshness will cause problems in any relationship. We need to be careful that we're extending grace one to another, that we're not being harsh with one another, that we're being gentle, that we need to be careful that we're being gentle. It says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So in your relationship with your spouse, maybe you need to return to that idea that I need to be gentle. Sometimes we get familiarity, you know, being familiar with someone, you know, we can get lazy and we can get, a little abrupt with one another. Man, I tell you, that's the quickest route to causing dissension and problems in a marriage relationship. I would say that as we are married longer and longer, we need to become more and more gentle. The tendency is to become more and more cynical or to become more and more, you just kind of get used to a person and, man, continue to figure out ways to serve your spouse, to love on your spouse, to extend grace to your spouse. Continue to figure that out all the days of your life, because I believe that our marriage experience can get better and better with time, and that's God's design. Like a rich relationship, a long-term friendship, where you might not see each other as friends for a while, but you pick up just where you left off because there's richness there, there's trust there, there's joy there, there's love there. And so let your relationship with your spouse become better and better. The world would tell you that you're kind of wearing it out. You know, you don't need each other after time. You've fallen out of love, whatever. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's not true. It's not true. I'll just share the story. I wasn't planning to, but my youth pastor, I've shared this before. My youth pastor said when Jolene and I were about to get married, he's like, "You don't even really know what love is." I'm like, "Well, you're a jerk." I'm like, "Of course I know what love is. I'm in love with this woman." But the truth, he was right. I mean, I knew what it was as much as I could know what it was. I knew what it was as much as I could know at 20. Right? You guys laugh. But at 50, I kind of know a little bit more about. And maybe at 80, I'll know more, right? Because we're in process, right? So we're in process, and we're figuring stuff out. We're growing up. Whether we're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, we should be in this process where we're continually learning and growing. Don't get stagnant because you're getting older. Right, that's the worst waste of time that I can think of, you know, because as you get older, you've got all this maturity, all of this wisdom, all of this experience, all of this knowledge that needs to be passed on to the next generation. So stay humble, stay connected to the next generation, lovingly, graciously communicate truth in a way that they lovingly and graciously want to receive it. Stay humble and communicate that truth. Don't get stagnant. Continue to grow, continue to understand, continue to develop yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ and as a human being. So let your gentleness, your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So the Lord is at hand. He'll help you. He'll help you. He'll bring things to light, maybe like he's doing right now, bringing stuff to light. Why? Because he loves you. He's not bringing stuff to light to make you, to ridicule you, to make you feel bad. He loves you, and he wants to bring you along. He wants to help you. A good example of gentleness, this quality of gentleness, is with Jesus. Remember when the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery was brought to him? Right? What did he do? He dealt with her with gentleness. This is the sinless Son of God, the creator and the sustainer of the world, the God-man, Jesus the Messiah. He gently and lovingly confronted her sin and lovingly helped her get down the road. He was gentle. When the religious leaders were anything but gentle, Jesus showed great gentleness. He knew how to show a holy gentleness to her. There's something there for us to learn. The next verse, do not be anxious about anything. Again, this is a command and not a suggestion. Anxiety over a situation demonstrates a lack of faith. We've got this constant tendency to be anxious and to be fearful. And the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, right? So don't be anxious about anything at all, because anxiety and fear shows a lack of faith. It shows a lack of confidence in God. So we actually have to arrest it. We have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so when we're feeling anxious, we need to figure out what's going on. We need to figure out why we're feeling anxious. Again, anxiety over a situation demonstrates a lack of faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to demonstrate faith in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our fear. A lack of faith always stems from a lack of understanding of who God is. A lack of faith always stems from a lack of understanding of the character of God. When we lack understanding and clarity of the character of God, then we have all kinds of fear and anxiety creeping into our lives constantly. We can't get away from it. Fear and anxiety go hand in hand. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. I shared this quote a couple weeks ago. I'll share it again. It says, fear is not real. Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. Think about it. That's what we're fearful about, right? Well, I might get sick. Or I might be broke. I might get in an accident. You know, my wife and two daughters went on a vacation. I thought, well, I wonder if they're going to come back. I'm are they going to make it back, you know? And then I go down this path because I'm in knucklehead sometimes. I'm like, oh, what if I lose my wife and my two daughters? It's going to be terrible, right? So the fear of the future. What happened? Jolene came home. My two daughters came home, right? Fear was not necessary, but, you know, I love my wife, love my daughters, and I just wanted them to be back, right? It is the product. Fear is the product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. It's near insanity. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. So danger is very real, but fear is a choice. What do we do when we're feeling anxious? So the other day, sometimes fear and anxiety is an attack of the enemy. Sometimes the enemy is just wanting to heap all kinds of garbage on us. And I was having one of those moments the other day, and I was feeling this like heavy thing, and I could tell it was just an attack of the enemy. And so I just began to pray in the spirit. I began to just pray in tongues and speak in tongues. And within just a few minutes, the whole thing lifted. It was like no big deal. Praying in tongues is a spiritual language that God gives us. He gives it to us to edify us personally, to help us personally. And so when we're praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, and not everybody has the gift of tongues. Some do, some don't. I've got friends who have asked, they haven't received it. I've got others who ask and they get it. I got another buddy of mine who didn't even know what it was. He got saved and all of a sudden he started speaking in tongues. So it's a mystery to us what it is all about. But Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So Paul understood the power of speaking in tongues. He did it in his private life, but he gave some instruction about speaking it in tongues in a public setting. He said, I'd rather speak five words that are understandable, meaning not in tongues, than I would speak 1,000 words that are not understandable in 1 Corinthians 14:19. But in church meetings, I'd rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown language. So we pray in the spirit differently in private than we do in public. But it's something that's available to the church. If we just ask, sometimes the Lord will give it. From my experience, some get it, some don't. I don't know why. But if you've got it, just use that as an opportunity to pray in the spirit and ask. It's like the Holy Spirit is praying in utterances that we don't understand. He's praying on our behalf. God's praying through us and something powerful happens. It's what the scripture. So when we talk about tongues, sometimes we think, oh, are we becoming a charismatic church? No, the early church, the first century church, wasn't a charismatic church or a conservative church. It wasn't any of those things. It was the church. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit were evident and available to the church just like they are now. So they were available then, they're available now. There's no indication in Scripture that those things have stopped, that those things are no longer available to us. We just have to open up our hearts and minds to it and see what the Lord will do if we seek those things. We overcome anxiety as we pray, bringing everything to the Lord in prayer. When we overcome anxiety through prayer, we are able to choose joy. Amen. It's hard to choose joy when we're anxious and fearful, right? Easy to do it when those things have lifted. It's easy to do it when those things are lifted. Back to our text, Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So how do we stand firm in the Lord? Don't be distracted by petty things, number one. Number two, choose to rejoice in the Lord. And number three, fix your thoughts. Number three, fix your thoughts on truth and do what is right. Verse 8, Philippians 4 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Sometimes we're entertaining all kinds of things that aren't true. We're thinking about all kinds of things that are not true. He said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So that's kind of the parameters for the way that we're supposed to think. Often our minds are going crazy thinking about all the wrong stuff that aren't filled with truth. They're not honorable, they're not just, they're not pure, they're not lovely, they're not commendable, they're not excellent, they're not worthy of praise. That's the way that we're supposed to think. As the Spirit has outlined it in the Scripture, we need to think with these parameters. Because in our humanness, we can think about all kinds of crazy stuff that, you know, like, well, my wife and kids come home. I don't know. Yes, maybe. I don't know what's going to, you know, we go crazy in our minds if we're not allowing the Scripture to frame our thinking and frame our understanding. Verse 9, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So fixing your thoughts on truth and doing what is right. So we look at what Paul has taught us, and we do those things. We look at Paul's example. He said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? So we're looking at the things that he communicated to us and the way that he lived his life, whether he had, as we'll see in the Scripture, whether he had a lot or little, he lived faithfully to the Lord. He was faithful to the things that God had called him to. So Paul actually puts into practice this whole outline, and so we'll just kind of see what happens as we wrap up these last verses. Verses 10 through 23 actually puts into practice everything that we've been talking about this morning. He said in verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received revived your concern for me. Excuse me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. He's talking to the church. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So Paul wasn't distracted by petty things like need. It's all about perspective, right? Sometimes we think we got need. That's not petty. That's a big thing, right? It's not a big deal in the kingdom to God. He's going to take care of us. Somebody was stranded on the rooftop in a flood, and you guys heard the story, right? Boat comes. Hey, we're here to rescue you. No, I've been praying. Lord's going to take care of me, right? A few hours later, another boat comes by, getting closer to the tip of the house. Yeah, we're here to pick you up. Nope, I'm trusting the Lord. A few hours later, the guy's standing on the tip of his house, the peak of his house, the helicopter lowers a rope down. Hey, I'm here to help you. Nope, I'm trusting the Lord. A few hours later, the guy's dead and in heaven. God, what happened? He's like, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What in the world? What in the world did you want from me, right? So if the Lord is sending you two boats and a helicopter, man, jump on board. Take the rescue, right? Paul knew that God was going to be faithful and he was going to meet his needs. King David said, I've been young and now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. He just knew. All of my needs will be taken care of. They're petty things, is what I'm trying to say. And that's what Paul's trying to say. They're petty things. Provision, temporary circumstances, they're petty things. Plenty or hunger, abundance or need. I can do all things, and I would add, he can endure all things. We can do all things, and we can endure all things through him who gives us strength. So, number one, don't be distracted by petty things. Number two, choose to rejoice in the Lord. Paul is able to be very optimistic because he trusts the Lord completely. This is what he wrote in verse 14, Philippians 4. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. He's choosing to rejoice in the Lord. He's having trouble. So it's not that we're going to have a life without trouble, but he's saying, hey, I'm choosing to trust the Lord in the midst of my trouble, right? It was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your account. He said, you get credit, eternal kingdom credit for the work that you've done, for the giving your generosity toward me. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul's choosing to rejoice in the Lord, even though he's going through trouble. He's got stuff that he's dealing with. He's up against hard stuff. He's in jail, after all. And then we see Paul finally, in his final greeting, he fixed his thoughts on truth and he did what was right. He said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. What's he doing? He's acknowledging that he's not in it alone, right? You're not in it alone. Look around. You've got the body of Christ around you. If you are in trouble, reach out. Reach out. Get prayer. Get counsel. Get help from somebody around you. You're not in this alone. He said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So the truth was that he was not alone. And his work, what was his work that he was focused on? He wanted to finish well. So it didn't matter what was going to happen to him. He ended up getting out of jail, doing some more ministry, but then he ended up back in jail, and then he died. He finished well. He ran the race well in spite of the trouble. That's available to us. We can stand firm if we will just not be distracted by petty things, and when we choose to rejoice in the Lord, and we fix our thoughts on truth and do what is right. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up and invite the worship team forward. And we're going to pray and have some time of worship together again. So, Lord, thank you for who you are and for what you're doing and for what you're teaching to us from Philippians. You're teaching us things in Philippians, Lord. And we want to be not just hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word, Lord. We don't want to be worried about petty things, Lord. We want to rejoice in you, Lord. We want to listen and do the right stuff. So, Lord, help us to do those things, Lord. Point out those areas of our life where we need to do those things, Lord, and be glorified as we respond. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and minister to us. And for those who just want more of you and they want to be maybe speak in tongues, Lord, I pray that you give them that ability. Others who just maybe won't speak in tongues but will be filled with you in a new and refreshing way and they'll have new capacity. Lord, I just pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and that you would minister to our needs and take care of us in all things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Let's worship.
Forever here.
Is power in your name, Lord. I pray for myself and for everyone here, Lord, that through all this, one thing that struck me that Steve spoke about was just in particular, there were so many great things in the message today for us all, but just that when we run into circumstances, Lord, that are tough for us or they're hard for us, and through this COVID thing, Lord, that you've foreseen all these things, Lord, and that we just need to turn to you in these things, Lord, and turn it over to you. Let you take control of it, Lord. I know I'm guilty as a guy, Lord. I got this. I can do this, Lord. But I can't without your strength, Lord, in my life. I'm helpless, Lord. So my prayer is that we all just seek you. We seek you in every single thing, Lord. And we utilize the strength and the direction you guide us, Lord. It may not be the direction we thought we were going to go, Lord, but you have that plan for us. And help us to see it clearly and gladly follow in that path that you have for us, Lord. I think you'll do amazing things in my life and in all our lives, Lord, through that. So thank you again for today, for every person here, Lord, for this place, this church, Harvest Church, Lord. Keep us all safe. Bring us back here next week. We love you, Lord. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here today. You guys are awesome. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Sunday.